This is the Faherty Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance.
Hi. Nice to see you. You're all obviously completely out of your minds. So many things can happen on a golf course. Bad shots, lost bets, nervous breakdowns, marriage breakdowns. We see it every week. The game is like shrill, shrieking hell in a leather bag. But it's not all torture. Golf is also a game that encourages honesty, gentility, humour, and the consumption of adult beverages that are allegedly bad for you. All this happens in the name of friendship. Tonight, I sit down with John Rahm and Larry Fitzgerald, two supremely talented compadres with life experiences from alternate sides of the fairway. They became friends thanks to their obsession with golf and their good fortune to be in the same beautiful place at the same time.
And they can play. John is a 23-year-old international golf superstar in the making from Barrica, Spain, and Larry is 34, hails from the great state of Minnesota, and is a pros pro wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals.
Guys, first of all, thanks for having me here at the lovely Whisper Rock Club. You're both obviously really good at your respective sports. How did you two get together?
First time we met, I was practicing out here, and I went out to chip, and he has stolen my practice spot. And when I came back, he was hitting balls in my stall. And at that point, I knew who he was. We weren't friends yet, so I was kind of nervous to go out there. So I just went quietly and went just next to him. And he, you know, being the nice guy, he's like, oh, my God, I took your spot. I'm so sorry. And after that, we actually had a chipping contest where I lost.
Yeah.
He beat me. And then the next time was a stake 44 when he decided to scare the life out of me, basically. I was eating with my girlfriend, Kelly, and a friend. And I see someone behind me. She just comes up and his arm just wraps around my neck. It's a big guy. And, yeah. You know, maybe he was excited to see me. I don't know. He was a little stronger than I've ever felt before. And I just paralyzed. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm done. Like, I'm getting kidnapped right now in front of everybody. And then I turn around. And I saw his big smile. I'm like, oh, it's Larry. Oh, thank God. I mean, I almost got a real heart attack at that point. You know, just trying to enjoy my dessert.
Larry, you grew up a football player. But your father always loved golf. Why did it take you so long to pick up a golf club?
It was slow. I loved the excitement and the movement of football. It's always something going on in basketball. Golf, it's time consuming. And to be good, it takes a lot of practice. You know, from a very young age, I could always run, jump, and catch. I didn't have to work on those things too much. I just had them naturally. And golf, it doesn't matter. You have to put the time in. And I just really wasn't willing to put the time in it when I was younger.
But Larry has more than made up for lost time. In February of 2018, he and Kevin Streelman demolished the field at Pebble Beach to win the fabled AT&T Pro-Am by 7 shots.
You won your first major on the Monterey Peninsula. I mean, it really is a major for amateurs. That's the biggest Pro-Am that you can win is the AT&T National at Pebble Beach. That had to be so cool.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. And to be able to do it with Kevin Streelman, who's also a member here with John and I, is a wonderful partner. And, he kept me calm throughout the course of the week. And, it was just a wonderful experience. It didn't help me much around the club, getting the shots that I was usually getting. Guys just start taking shots from me for no apparent reason because I won a handicap event, but it was really cool.
But it's kind of natural that your handicap would fluctuate because it'll go up in the football mm-hmm. season when you're not playing golf.
Yeah, I mean, during the season, I do get a chance to play, but, if I'm sore, ankle's bothering me, or something, I just don't play that well. So, I mean, if I shoot 91, 92, I mean, that happens. So it does fluctuate a lot.
You get sore?
Very, very sore, yeah, after those collisions. Yeah.
What a shock, yeah. John, I turned pro at 17 and went across the water to England to get an assistant professional's job, but, I mean, I missed my mother. I had to go home. You came here at 17 years old, and you assimilated so well into American society. You didn't speak a lick of English when you came here.
I spoke better English than people make it sound.
Really? Yeah. What were the first few words you learned in English? I heard there was rap music involved.
Man, that goes around the world so easily. It's not how I learned English, and those were definitely not the first words I learned in English. Okay? What rap music helped with, it was a lot of my pronunciation, enunciation, and being able to process in English.
When you go out there on the golf course together, do you kind of pick each other's brains, or is there anything you can learn from each other out there?
I definitely learned a whole lot from him. I mean, just how fluent his movements are, his confidence, and just his ability to execute any shot at any given moment. And like, you know, went out today and he shot 62. He gave me 14 shots and it wasn't even close to being enough.
14 shots, and you're a relatively low handicapper, too.
Yeah, I know, but when you're a plus six, you know, I mean, it makes everybody look bad.
I knew I was going to have to play good to actually keep it contested, because I knew I was capable of playing well, and I was 400 through five, and I was only one up. So I just kept it going, to be honest.
How long did it take you to play out here today?
Us two?
2:30, 2:15.
Just under 2:30, yeah.
Fitz, your dad is a journalist in Minnesota covering the Vikings and every other team there. Did he have to push you to get into football, or was it something that you decided yourself or just happened?
Yeah, no, my parents never pushed my brother and I to do anything. They only told us, whatever you decide you want to do, we're going to support you 100%. And, you know, I really love sports. I love basketball. I love football. And my dad would take me around and bring me around some of the greatest athletes to ever play the game. I remember sitting there in the locker room asking Magic Johnson questions and, you know, catching fly balls with Kirby Puckett in the outfield and watching Kevin Garnett shoot free throws. I remember just the hard work and dedication those guys put forth. And I always said, if I want to make it, I have to be able to work like these guys do.
Larry Fitzgerald is a sportsman of both quality and quantity, and that's just his hair. He runs, jumps, catches, and scores like it's what he was born to do. He grew up and came of age in Minneapolis, Minnesota, guided by his parents and some exceptional mentors. After earning unanimous All-American honors at the University of Pittsburgh, he was the third overall pick in the NFL draft by the Arizona Cardinals in 2004. Through 14 seasons, he has played the game with dignity and dexterity, scoring 110 touchdowns with over 15,500 yards by way of 1,234 catches, placing him third on the NFL's all-time receptions list. The man is a Hall of Fame lock. And he's not done yet.
Larry, you're kind of an even keel on the football field. You know, when you catch something spectacular in the end zone, you just hand the ball back to the ref and you go to the sideline. Where does that humbleness come from?
My dad used to always tell me that, you know, just watch Barry Sanders, you know. When he gets in the end zone, watch how he conducts himself. And I always watched him, and he always acted like he had been there before.
Yes.
Like it was, that's what his job was, and that's kind of how I feel it is. It takes 10 other people for me to be able to execute my job. So
that's
for me to, like, take all the glory would be, just doesn't feel right to me.
John, you were quite easily good enough to be a professional earlier than you turned pro. Why did you choose to go the college route?
I promised my parents I was going to graduate. It's as simple as that. And the career of a golfer, luckily, is so long. You know, you can make it as long as you can play golf, right? So I figured I was going to graduate before when I was 21. So from when I graduated till I was 50, it would be a really long career if I can make it to play golf to 50, because a long career, you never know what's going to happen. So it's I figured turning pro when I was 18, 19, 20, it really didn't matter. It's just 1 year over the grand scheme of things. I knew having a college degree and experience in that time was going to be better.
That's a pretty mature decision, you'd have to say.
I definitely agree.
You think you can play until 50?
No chance.
No. Right. Okay, seems fair enough.
He'll be playing golf when he's 50, though.
Yeah, well, I know he'll be playing.
We know he will be.
Yeah. John, getting to number two in the world at any age is impressive, but at 23, and when you managed it, did that put extra pressure on you?
The biggest thing is it caught me off guard. I didn't expect it.
Yeah.
I thought after winning Palm Springs, well, I'm to number four in the world, whatever. And then I get to Torrey Pines press conference, you know, 10 hours before ATF. I'm like, well, if you win this week, you'll be number one in the world. I was like, oh, boy, okay. Well, I didn't know that, but thanks. And it was just more of a surprise. But then from that moment on, I was always prepared for that, you know, knowing possibly that if I win, I'm going to become number one. It was very unexpected, but very welcome.
You're more animated than about 99% of the people out there, and occasionally, you know, it'll get you into trouble. Where does that come from?
I just cannot fathom the thought of losing to anything I do in life. We could be playing cards right now, a game I've never played in my life, and I'll be just as intense as I am on the golf course. So it's just how I am as a competitor. And sometimes you know, I show more emotion than maybe what I would, or you know, maybe it just gets the best of me sometimes, but it's just the way I feel the sport, and it's really the way I live my life. You know, I feel my emotions to the maximum.
Do you find that you get fined more for cursing in English or Spanish?
I haven't been fined yet.
You haven't?
No.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you ended up choosing to play football at Pitt, and, you know, I Googled all the records you amassed there, but tell me, I see something about yens. How do you speak yens?
So, you know, in Pittsburgh, they have a lot of, you know, sayings that are really quirky and funny, but, you know, yens is just, what are yens doing over there? When are yens coming back to Pittsburgh, you know?
Oh, so it's like yous in Philadelphia?
Yes, it's like yous, yes, yeah.
So yens in the west and yous in the east?
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals in 2004, and for 14 seasons, he's been thrilling fans with catches and runs that have made him among the best ever to play wide receiver in the NFL. John Ram turned pro in 2016, so it's still too early to project his eventual place in the history of the game, but with 5 professional wins and more than $12 million in earnings coming into this interview, it's not an overstatement to say that he's made a big impression on his fans, his fellow competitors, and me. John, you're no stranger to winning in California. You dropped one on the last green at Torrey Pines. That was a high point of the season in terms of our highlight cameras, that's for sure, in TV. How did that feel?
I can't explain it. I can't.
We could actually see the hair standing up on your forearms.
It's an unexplainable moment. You know, you dream of how your first professional victory is going to be. And for me to happen the way it happened, like, you always dream, oh, this putt to win this putt to win that. But, you know, my first PGA Tour win to be the way it was, playing the last 10 holes the way I did, and then go on that hole and hit the green in 2, which is already an incredible feat, and then make the putt from 60 feet. But I was not trying to make it, to be honest. Just
no, but it's one of the hardest putts on tour. I mean, you can knock it in the water from there.
Yeah, like, to be honest, I had Adam read it for me first because I was too excited and too, you know, amped up to be able to read it. Because obviously I knew it was downhill, left to right, right to left. I mean, it's a ball down there. You can hit whatever you want. It's going to end up down there. But the speed was the important part. And I was holding the putter. And I was like, man, I can't hit this putt. So, like, I started reading it myself. And I told him, all right, let me go through my routine. I don't know if there's that on camera or not. But at one point, I'm like, okay, like go away. I got this. You know, let me. And I get into it. And I can't explain it. Because from the moment that ball goes in the hole until a minute after, I don't remember.
Right.
The next thing I remember is Adam giving me a high five and pushing me into the bunker. Whatever happened in between, I have no recollection.
Well, it had to be amazing getting your first win at that age, and, you know, when knowing that a lot of really great players have been on tour years before they get their first win.
It was a very special win for me because a year before the tournament, me and my girlfriend Kelly made a road trip from ASU to San Diego for me to play the monthly qualifier. Now, I missed the cut. For so many reasons, but especially because of that, it's a very special win for me.
Larry, John watches you on the football field. You watch him on the golf course when he gets in contention. Do you get kind of nervous for him?
I definitely do get nervous for him. I watch every golf tournament, you know, and especially if he's in contention, I'm glued to the TV. I told him sometimes I do some things that I shouldn't do probably to keep up with him, you know.
After winning at Torrey Pines, 3 more victories would follow before John returned home to compete in the 2018 Spanish Open.
Explain what it's like for a Spaniard to win the Spanish Open.
I don't think I've ever seen a hole where I teed off on a par 5 that's almost 600 yards with people from the tee box lined up all the way around the green and back for a couple rows. I've never seen that in my life. Maybe Tiger and Phil can do it. For somebody like me who just started playing, I'm not a major champion. I haven't been number one in the world. I haven't that anything heroic. Yeah, to have that much of an expectation, it was unreal. And definitely, it was the hardest win for me to get by far.
There's so much hope in a crowd like that, so much expectation. Do you feel the extra pressure when you're at home?
Definitely. It's, you know, it's always hard to win a tournament, but it's hard to win a tournament when you're expected to win it. You know, when you get there, it's top 5 in the world, supposed to be the massive favorite. I knew that golf course. I played there my last 2 years of high school as my home course, so I really knew it perfectly. You know, all those things set it up for it to be technically the tournament I should win, right? you know. And then when you start playing good and you get in contention and all that, you know, and Saturday I play good in the back nine and get in contention, it makes it hard, you know. It makes it really hard because the people can feel it in the feet of my energy. And it's really hard to keep it under control because every time I hit a good shot, people would go absolutely nuts.
Mm.
I mean, it's the closest I'm ever going to feel to what he feels in a football game. It's the closest I will ever feel. So, and golfers are not used to that. You know, you don't have that many people usually cheering for one player. So it's hard to keep it under control. You know, it's not, for us, it's not easy.
Well, anyone who doesn't know the rules of rapid fire hasn't been paying attention. Start the clock somewhere. Thank you. Larry, which is more bearable, a Minnesota winter or a Phoenix summer?
Phoenix summer.
John, paella or gazpacho?
Paella.
Larry, when was the last time you got a haircut?
This morning.
Nah.
Yeah.
Really?
Just edge up. Yeah, just keep
edging. Oh, a little trim, right? Yeah, yeah. John, you're a big fan of rap. Surprisingly, I'm not. But Biggie or Tupac?
Tupac.
Larry, what's the best golf course you ever played?
I don't rank them.
No?
No, it's more about the experience and who I'm playing with.
What's the best round you ever shot?
It wasn't the best round, but the most one I'm proud of. I shot 73 over at St. Andrews last year.
Wow, that's special.
Yeah.
John, Masters jacket or claret jug?
Claret jug.
Pretty emphatic there.
Yeah, it's a European.
Yeah.
I think I grew up idolizing the Open Championship and the claret jug.
Yeah.
And as a Seve fan, also.
Well, thank you. That was rapid fire. As always, we both win nothing. John, have you ever seen Larry get pissed off on the golf course?
Are we comparing it to me? Or
no?
Are we comparing it to Larry in a football game, right? I think if anybody says that they don't get mad playing golf, they're for sure lying, or they're not playing golf.
And they shouldn't be allowed to
simple.
Play.
It's, yeah. Everybody gets mad, but it's not, you know, reaction. He always says he's out here to have fun, right?
Yeah.
Nobody likes it when they miss a shot. And in golf, everybody misses a lot of it, but it's never, I mean, he's going to be smiling and making jokes within 3 seconds, so it's not nothing bad at all. Yeah.
John, how do you harness, you know, the emotion that you have how do you channel it into something good when you're on the golf course?
It's as good as it is negative at the same time, meaning that when I hit a good shot, that same emotion I feel when I feel a bad shot is just as high, but in positivity, meaning, for example, the winning putt at Torrey Pines, you're never going to get a reaction like that from Dustin Johnson, for example. This is the way I am on the golf course and the way I am in life. Whenever I get good news, I go crazy. To be honest, it makes it really entertaining.
It's honest.
Yeah, it's just more enjoyable that way for me. You know, you gotta, like Larry said, you can have low points in your life. You got to experience those as well to be able to cherish the high ones.
John, the Ryder Cup's in Paris this year, and you're all but a lock, you know, to get on the team. What does it mean to you to get on and play for that European side?
Since I've never played it, I can't tell you what I'll feel, but a lot of excitement. You know, it can't come quick enough because I've been looking forward to a moment like this for a very long time.
Is it as even as it's been for as long as you can remember, certainly?
Since I can remember, I think Europe has been winning most of them. It's, when it comes to Ryder Cup, I feel like world rankings, what you've done before, what you might do after, it completely don't matter. When you're playing match play, man-to-man, anybody can win. So really, you know, it's always 50-50 chance of each team winning. This is whoever gets luckier that week.
Who do you think you'd like to play with?
Anybody.
That is the correct answer.
I'm not picky. I can play with anybody. You know, I feel like as long as they know how I play golf and how I like to play golf, and adapt to that, I can play with anybody. You know, I'm a very supportive partner in that sense. You know, I'm never gonna get in their way. I let them know what to do and just encourage them to hit the best shot they can.
Him and Tommy Fleetwood might be a good partnership.
Yeah. How difficult is it having one of your greatest friends on the wrong side?
Yeah, it is tough. You know, you see those guys and you know them, you respect them and like them, but you just can't pull against your own country. It's not possible. You know, so I want him to do well in his matches, but, you know, I'm definitely pulling for the USA team, no question.
John, what are the differences between playing in America and playing in Europe?
Most of the courses we play in Europe are rather narrow, you know, a lot more narrow. Greens are not as sloped or as fast as we play in the States. So somebody with my length, if I can have a good driving week, I'm going to have a chance to win just because, you know, when I'm able to hit it close and make a lot of putts. The golf is a little different, you know. It kind of opens it up for more people to win. But when you have someone who can hit it long and has a good week off the tee, I think, you know, we have a much bigger advantage than we do here.
Will you play on boats or you play around the world? what do you think the chances are of getting a global tour? There's been a lot of talk about it.
I think it's possible. Honestly, anywhere we go, the support is amazing. You know, it only, if it ever happens where there's a global tour, as long as you get the best players in the world.
Yeah, that's the key.
Exactly, but if it's a global tour where things are happening, it's just like an extension of a PGA Tour or something similar, the best players in the world are going to show up. And that's, you don't need all of them, you just need a couple of them, you know, the first year, and then it just could take off from there.
Larry, they're playing football all over the world now as well, it seems, you know, in Mexico and London and elsewhere. The game's grown in popularity.
Yeah, I love to see the growth, you know, just the excitement that you see in Mexico. And got a chance to play for my first time over in London this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never seen, you know, 50,000 people outside of a stadium like that, in every single jersey from every different team around the league. And I was really excited. I heard it was going to be a great experience, and it, you know, kind of blew me, you know, away by seeing that kind of excitement.
Yeah, but you don't get any ice in your drink?
Oh, no.
You get a couple of cubes.
Yeah. You know,
no refills.
A room temperature Coke poured over the top of it.
No refills. That's a big
one. No. More Faherty will continue after a few words from our sponsor. Why is Farmer supporting my show? Well, I've interviewed over 100 guests, ranging from legendary golfers to presidents to celebrities. And just like Farmers is smarter from their unbelievable but true experiences, from each of my interviews, I've gained great knowledge that I can carry forward. Well, from most of them. Anyway, thank you, Farmers, for supporting my show.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
All right, then. Now back to the show. Right, here's the point where we ask true or false questions about each other. John, Larry has led the NFL in receptions a record 8 times.
I'm going to say true.
It's false. He's done it twice, but he's had over 100 catches 5 times. Larry, John's 11 collegiate wins are second only to Phil Mickelson's 16 in Arizona State history.
True.
That is correct. It is true. Larry, John holds the record for most weeks atop the world amateur ranking.
I'm going to say that's not true.
It is true. 60 weeks. John, Larry was named after Larry Bird because his father was a huge Boston Celtics fan.
Could it be true?
Well, it could be true.
Could it be true?
But it's false. Yeah.
I don't know. If
it... Larry is named after his father. Larry, go figure. Larry, John has never recorded a hole-in-one until his rookie season on tour.
I'm going to say that's false, because if he had one, I would have known about it.
Nope, it's true.
He was Safeway Open 40 minutes into the PGA Tour season in 2017. Oh, wow. It was 7:30 in the morning, so it was not on TV.
Larry, in elementary school, John once wrote an entire project on how he planned to marry Penelope Cruz.
That's false.
It is false. You're right. And that's all for true or false. Well, growing up as a Spaniard, who did you look up to?
My first memories are obviously Sergio. Once I got older and I learned from the history of the game, obviously I got a lot more into José María Olazábal and Seve, right? Both of those being my idols. Seve being the one I try to emulate the most, the way he changed the sport in not only Spain, but Europe and better part of the world. You know, if I could ever do 10% of what he did for the sport, I'll consider my career a success.
You also got really friendly with Miguel Ángel Jiménez, the most interesting golfer in the world.
He always tells me the same thing, to just forget about my driving and, you know, forget about, don't practice my driving, I did good enough, just keep my practice within 150 yards. You know, he can still, you know, easily beat me within that yardage. So it's, you know, it's really humbling when I go to someone like him who's already in the Champions Tour and I play a practice round with them, and when we have 150 yards in, I have absolutely no chance to ever beat him.
He's
so,
impressive.
You know, it shows how, no matter who you are, what we do, you need to be good at that distance. No matter what you do in the sport of golf, how you hit it, anything, you know. He's the one that made me realize I needed to improve that, and that's what I've been trying to do.
Larry, you're a college grad, and you're smarter than most golfers.
Education is important, something my parents always harped on about, and, you know, how can I preach the importance of education to my kids if I don't get it done myself? So I wanted to do it, made a promise to my late mother I would do it, and it only took me 10 years after I got out of school to do it, but, you know, it's something I wanted to do.
Who did you look up to in terms of football?
I'd say Chris Carter was the person I really looked up to. And a lot of that because he allowed me to be close to him. Let me come down and train with him in Florida in the off season. And I could always pick up the phone and call him and ask him advice. He would come to my high school football games too. So
really?
It was great to be able to have somebody you idolize, but was actually you were able to touch too. And so it was
he's one of my favorite people too. I had him on the show.
Yeah, I saw
it. Amazing man. Mm-hmm. John, how did Tim and Phil Mickelson influence you?
Tim being my head coach in ASU for 4 years and my manager for a year after that. So when I came to the States, he ended up basically becoming my father figure in the United States. Because when I came to Arizona State, there's a lot of cultural, let's say, rules you need to learn, like what might be correct to do in Spain, but not be correct or polite to do in the United States. So
right.
I got easily in trouble like that every single week. Like what I thought, oh, this is fine in Spain, so I did it. And then, oh, yeah, this is not right. You can't do this. So I spent quite a bit of time in coach's office being told, mostly punished. I'm not gonna lie, I got punished quite a bit my first semester just because I didn't know what was going on. So.
What does punishment look like?
I think the worst punishment besides missing tournaments and things like that is to do the whole upper bowl of the stadium running. So what it means, you go up the stairs, up and down, you go to the next one, up and down, and you keep going like that. And when I had to do it, it was in September. Somehow it was a hot day in September in Arizona, it never happens, right? It was about 10:30 and it was like 110 degrees. So
yeah.
After 20 of those, I really thought Jesus was calling me and I was walking up.
Right.
Like I was not making it past the next one. And luckily, he made me stop. He asked me, "Did you learn your lesson?" I'm like, "Yeah, learn my lesson. Never doing that again."
If there were something you could change about your lives, like take a mulligan, what would it be?
Mine would be, you know, Big Ben and Santonio Holmes. Maybe a false start before that play.
Right.
That would be great. We had just replay it. Maybe that would be my one mulligan out.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe go back to Congressional on my first pro start to the 16th hole after I got a bad lip out on 15. And replay the tee ball on 16. Instead of trying to absolutely smash that ball without caring about how far right or left or ever went to, just trying to hit in the fairway, if I could go back to that, a birdie on 16 could have still won me the tournament.
Speaking of Augusta, that's a tournament you finished fourth this year, mm-hmm. and you opened with a 75.
To me, that 75 kind of got me in a much more aggressive state of mind. Because I knew I could score at Augusta. I had just not done it yet. And the first day I played really good golf with Rory and Adam Scott as playing partners, and I felt like I played as good as they did, and they both beat me. And Rory actually had a really good first round. I'm like, man, I feel like I played better than him. He just made a few more putts. So the next day, I kind of, the front nine, nothing really happened. On the back nine, I just kind of let free. You know, I'm like, listen, just play golf, you make the putts, and from then on, it's just really what happened. So kind of trying to take that to all the next major championships.
In 2009, on football's biggest stage, Larry came up huge. In Super Bowl 43, he caught 7 passes for 127 yards and 2 touchdowns, including this 64-yard hookup with Kurt Warner, giving the Cardinals a 23-20 lead over the Steelers with just 2 minutes and 37 seconds left on the clock. It wasn't enough.
Larry, you played in one of the closest Super Bowls in history, one of the best Super Bowls in history. What do you remember about that game?
I have a lot of positive memories, but most of them are, you know, just about, you know, Big Ben and San Antonio making that play on the sideline in the back of the end zone. And that was a great play by those guys, but, you know, something that I think about from time to time still.
You think there's a Super Bowl in the Cardinals?
I always hope, you know, I'm one of those guys who's always optimistic. You know, I like, you know, the nucleus of our ball club and the youthful exuberance that guys have. And, you know, as we prepare for another season, you know, I'm very excited about what we have.
Golf's a funny game. Tell me a funny golf story.
Want to go first, Fitz?
So 2 years ago, Kevin and I just got done playing our final round on Sunday at the AT&T Pro-Am. And, you know, we were like, what are we going to do? Kevin was going to drive down to Riviera. That was the next tournament on the schedule. And he was like, let's go play again. So we went over to Spyglass, and we teed it up. We played again. And, You know, it was a tight match, and we're on number 11, and he's filming me with the driver, and I hit the ball washer with my T-ball, and he has it on. He has it on.
Oh, you got
video.
It on video.
So like, if ever I have a good game, he'll send me that video. I'll be like, just if you were thinking you were doing really well, I just want you to know that you ain't really that good, Fish. You know, so he always sends me that video, and I get a good chuckle out of it. So
that's what friends are for.
Yeah, that's what friends are for.
So the first time I played with Phil, we were playing at the Bridges. I was still in college, and we were playing the game. We're on the 7th hole at the Bridges, and I have an eagle putt from about 10 feet. And he has about 12 feet for birdie. And he makes that putt. And it starts going on while I'm trying to putt. I would go on stories like, oh, well, you know, you're going to go back in this putt that I made once you miss your eagle putt, and this is the reason why you're going to lose the game, just because I missed this putt from here. You know, I hit that bad of a chip on purpose, so you actually made a putt longer than you, so you miss yours, you get mad, and, you know, from then on, it's game over, I win. And I'm like, well, it's hard to get in my head, because I'm used to it. My dad used to make noise on purpose. You drop the bag, make his keys in the pocket, make noise, and, like, cough. Like, I was used to those things. I was immune, so, like, the fourth time after I step back, I just get up there, make the putt, pick it up, just walk by him, don't even look at him, make birdie the next two holes. I'm, like, 4 or 5 up, and I didn't think he spoke a single word on the back nine. The next time we played, he did not say a single word in the first 8 holes. I'm like, so yeah, no trash talking anymore. It's like, yeah, it didn't work so well the first time. I'm not going to try. At this point, we've become good enough friends where, you know, we do mess with each other just for fun.
Of course. Well, being an ASU grad, the Phoenix Open, is it something that's like circled on your calendar every year?
Definitely. Definitely.
It's always a different...
always looking forward to it. You know, this past year, I was completely overshadowed because I was playing with Phil. Like, nobody over there knew that I was playing. I mean, me and Xander Schauffele had no part to do that day because Phil was playing. So, you know, we kind of went under the radar. It was great, but it's always amazing to feel the support, you know, from a home crowd, just because there's so many people that are ASU graduates, you know? It's just, it's not usual for me to get this kind of feeling on US soil. You know, I'm never going to get as many fans as here.
Larry, outside of golf and football, you become interested in photography and travel. Where does that come from?
Well, my parents used to always take my brother and I all around the country, you know, to experience new places domestically. And, you know, I said whenever I get an opportunity to be able to do some traveling on my own, you know, I want to do it. And now I've been to 99 countries around the world. And
99?
Yeah, 99. And I really, truly love, you know, learning about new cultures, trying new cuisines, and being able to capture some of those moments, you know, and some of the most fun I've ever had and the most obscure places in the world. And, you know, to be able to come back and look at pictures I took 5 years ago, and it takes you right back to that moment you were experiencing there. And I've had some unbelievable times.
99? I don't think I've been to 99 countries. Yeah. What's going to be 100?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to be 100. You know, I'll be over in Europe again this year. There's been some places I haven't been to in Europe that, you know, I want to get to Ireland. I haven't played golf in Ireland yet.
Oh, you know, got to go.
That's high on the list.
John, the sky's the limit for you. 23 years old. You know, you've had a great career so far. What are the goals?
I've already accomplished more than I would have ever thought I could accomplish when I started playing golf.
Really? You
know, never in my life, somebody from Barica, Spain, you know, a town with 1,000 people where there's more animals than people, I never thought I was going to end up playing golf. I always wanted to be a soccer player, and I never thought I was going to end up becoming one of the best players in the world. Later on, it became my goal, but just being able to make it on the PGA Tour and being a champion on the PGA Tour and even remotely being compared to the greatest of Spain is more than enough for somebody like me. So at this point, I just go year by year trying to accomplish as much as I can each year.
So, I mean, do you think... Seve has 5, Jose Maria 2, Sergio just won his first. That's obviously one of the things you'd love to do.
Well, let's focus on number one, and then we'll talk about number two, if there's ever number one. You know, that's the way I think.
Yeah.
Whenever anybody asks me, oh, how many did you win, how many that, I'm like, I said, right now I want to win one.
Yeah.
If it ever comes, and then we'll focus on the rest afterwards.
Well, guys, you've made this hour go past like lightning, faster than you down the sideline. Thank you so much, Larry.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having
me. Great to see you.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, David.
Greatness isn't easy. I've been close to other people's greatness in my life, but I've never been able to rub up against it and catch it like poison ivy, which is actually a good thing, because if I'd been a better player, I might have missed broadcasting altogether. We don't need an itch to feel greatness when it's close by. Larry Fitzgerald has proven over 14 seasons in the NFL, and he's not done yet. Young John Rahm is oozing with potential for greatness. Just 2 years into what could be a very long career, he's offered us glimpses of what could be. He swings the clubs with annoying skill, but he's also got an agile mind, an engaging personality, and the gift of humor, too. Thanks, guys. Well, that's our show for tonight. Thanks for not being somewhere else. And if you must, you can follow my adventures at Fehertwit on Facebook and Instagram, and the produce counter at Kroger. Good night, everyone. Good night, sweetie. Thanks for joining me, Fehertie Bands. You can find more of the Fehertie Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance on Fehertie.com and your favorite podcast provider. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Art19, or Google Play. Search Fehertie and subscribe. If you love the show, and why wouldn't you? Be sure to leave a rating, review, and tell your friends.